Well, we are in the book of Ruth, and every chapter in the book of Ruth teaches another lesson about God's love. And one of the big lessons in the whole book is that when Israel refused God's love, God opened his love to the Gentiles. So we have Naomi and her family walking away from God. They stepped out of the light and they walked into the darkness of Moab. And because of that, God opened light for who? Who was the person who benefited from Naomi and Elimelech and Mahlon and Chilion going out of the will of God? Who benefited by their disobedience? You guys are so shy today. I don't even know what to say. Translate this one. Did they take a shy pill? Okay, Ruth. Ruth benefited from Naomi's walk in the darkness. And so, with us, the Lord Jesus came to his own, John says, but those who were his own did not receive him. And this is today. This is today's story. And so, Israel, just like in Naomi's day, is not walking with the Lord. And Israel does not know God as Israel one day will know God. And that's our benefit, because God is reaching out to us Gentiles. Have you trusted the Lord Jesus? So it's a love story. And of course, one love refused is another love received. And today we're going to think about receiving God's love in his grace. So chapter one and two go together. They're like a pair. Because where sin is increasing, grace suddenly abounds and overflows. And so the first chapter really is about sin, and the second chapter is all about grace, and they go together. Chapter 3 and chapter 4 also are a pair. They go together very well, because in this chapter today, we're going to see Ruth exercise faith. It doesn't mean she's going to the gym. That means she's going to put her faith in her Savior, who in our story, who's the hero and who's the Savior? Okay, swallow your shy pill. Who's the Savior and the hero in this story? Boaz. And so in the chapter we're looking at today, Ruth is going to put her trust in her Savior, Redeemer, hero, person, Boaz. And then we're going to learn in the next chapter that faith has to be, that salvation has to be paid. So these two chapters will go together. And so it's a good pair. I thought of the New Testament. So Ruth is a story, but the New Testament is clear and plain and just states it so we can understand it. So here, just stating it clearly so you and I can understand it. The Bible begins by saying, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And that's us. I have sinned. I do sin. But I'm also born in sin. I'm born disqualified from God's eternal holy heaven. And I'm not alone. I'm saying this because you're born in sin. And I'm saying this because you all do sin as well. So you can say amen to that. We have sinned. And then this word here means to be made right. How is a sinner justified, or how is a sinner made right? Well, it happens as a gift. And that gift is by God's grace. And so I hope you can say amen to that too. Because everyone, it's just not hard to know that I am a sinner. I think what's hard, and the first time I heard this, I say, why would God do anything like that? Do you remember the first time, maybe you can't, but do you remember the first time you heard you were a sinner, but God has a gift of eternal life? And did you think, how would God give away something that good for free? There must be something I have to do. But then I realized there's nothing I can do. And it has to be a gift. So when you think about yourself for a moment here, is this how you are saved? For yourself? Have you realized, oh no, I've sinned, I cannot fix it, God has a gift? And that gift then, two things about the gift. First of all, it has to be received. And this is a good verse about that, right? Faith means trusting or receiving. And so when we think about how can God save a sinner as a gift, and you go, by what kind of law? Meaning, who thought this rule up? God. God thought this rule up, and so it's a good rule. Salvation from God is going to be by a gift. It's God's law. Oh, but what about my works? I want to do something. I'm glad you want to do something. But if you say you can do something more than Jesus to save yourself, then who are you saying did not do enough? If you have to add something to Jesus, what are you saying about Jesus? You're saying, Jesus, you didn't do enough. And that would be wrong, wouldn't it? How many of my sins did Jesus pay for when he was on the cross? ALL. He prayed for all of my sins. So what kind of law? It's a law where you can't work. Jesus does all the work. So it's a law then that it's a gift. It has to be received by faith. And so we have our three chapters here. Sin, grace, faith. And then chapter 4, we'll look at this word. And that means that every gift has to be paid for. And so chapter 4, you're going to focus on paying for that gift that Ruth received. And that is coming up later. So, there's our tip today. Faith exercise. Ruth is going to receive her Savior, which is Boaz. And here's our review. Ruth in chapter 2, there's chapter 2. She said, I have found grace. I have found favor. When she found Boaz. And there she is falling before Boaz. I have found grace. And for us now in chapter 3 then, grace will save Ruth through faith. And then to make it very clear, here's the clear, just New Testament plain teaching so you and I understand it. By grace, that's the gift, you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the what? Gift of God, not as a result of what? Works, so that no one can boast. So the only thing I can boast about, the only thing I can brag about, is how great Jesus is. And that's the salvation. That's the law. That's the law of being saved. So that's chapters 2. And now we're moving on to chapter 3, and we have verse 1 in chapter 3. This is a very, very good chapter in the book. And chapter 1 I've entitled, Looking for Security and Rest. Verse 1, Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, that's Ruth's mother-in-law, so then Naomi, Ruth's mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, shall I not seek security or rest for you, that it may be well with you?" Well, someone had a hard time translating this from Hebrew into English. And they said, "What word should I pick to translate this Hebrew word of security or rest?" And it's just the word for rest. You actually know the word because you all know Hebrew. Did you know that? Who's the man who got in the boat with seven other people in his family when the world was judged for its sin? What was his name? Noah. So you know the word for rest because Noah's name, Noah, means rest. And that's the word up here. It's the root of this word right here, rest. Sometimes the word rest, when you translate it, means stopping, relaxing, and resting. And sometimes it means a safe, secure place. So you can see how stopping and resting and safety and security go 100% together, can't you? If you've ever been hunted or chased and you sat down, you're not really resting, are you? You have your eyes open. You don't rest and you don't have calm until you have security. And so that's this word here. And of course, what does it mean? Security or rest and safety for a childless widow. So here's Ruth, and Naomi says, "I'm going to find rest. I'm going to find security for you." And what would Ruth be thinking? What's rest and what's security if you're a widow and you have no children? It would be, did I fill in the answer? Nope. You got to fill in the answer. If you're a widow, what's security? Boy, I hope none of you become widows. You're in big trouble. Okay? You've lost your husband. The tornado in Nebraska. You know, they just had tornado in Nebraska. It blew your house down. It fell on your family. Your husband is dead. Your children are dead. And you walked out and you're a widow. I'm so sad. So, what is now security and rest for you? You get a new husband, right? Men are a dime a dozen. I mean, they're all over. And so that's what she's saying. I'm going to look for a husband for you. I have just the man. And he's not just a husband, because really every man is not a good husband, right? God has the right person for you. And that's why if you are married, the person doing your ceremony said something like, "What God has joined together, let no man separate." And so in your wedding ceremony, the ceremony itself, if it was a Christian ceremony, acknowledges that God brought you together. This is God's man for you. And so Ruth and Naomi was looking for God's man for Ruth. And God's man for Ruth is Boaz. Because Boaz is not only a good husband, but he's a savior and a redeemer as well. He's everything. You remember all the words for Boaz? He was the Gibor. Like Jesus is the El Gibor. Boaz was the Gibor. That means he was hero. He was wealthy. He was brave. So he is able to rescue her, isn't he? And then we'll find out in this chapter, he's willing. He wants to save her. He wants to give her security and rest. And that security and rest will be in marriage. Hey, can I make a point about our salvation? If you trust Jesus as Savior, if you trust the Lord Jesus as your Savior, God is calling you the bride of the Lord Jesus. It is almost the same, isn't it? As the bride of the Lord Jesus, when you receive the Lord Jesus as Savior, you find rest and security in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you don't have to lift up your eyes and look this way and look that way, because sin is not coming to get you. You are safe from the eternal punishment of sin. Imagine the relief. What if your name was called Rest, like Noah? Here is an example of rest. Noah's name means rest, and in fact, as a baby, Noah got the name Rest because a prophet said that Noah would bring rest to the entire world. And how did Noah bring rest to the entire world? Because he's like Boaz. Noah is like Boaz, and Noah is like Christ, because both men are bringing rest. And both men are bringing security. Noah brought rest to the world by bringing the entire world, all eight people, through the judgment of God, safely. So the judgment of God came on the whole world. Everybody died, but eight people. And those eight people were safe. And they were safe inside the boat. Isn't that an amazing thing? And you know, that's security, isn't it? Outside the boat was darkness. Inside the boat, they had light. Outside the boat was hunger. Inside the boat, they had all the food they could eat. Plus, they had the seed to plant when they left the boat to fill the earth again. Inside the boat was family and safety and security. Outside the boat was danger and enemies and judgment. So you can see how Noah's name means rest by providing safety and security. But even more than that, look at what the Bible says in Genesis 8:4. In the seventh month, on the 17th of the month, the ark did a Noah. Alright, there's his name again. The ark did a Noah. The ark rested. The ark rested upon the mountains of Ararat. Genesis 8:4. Here's a wonderful example that God provided security through Noah, first by judging sin, and then giving safety. And that's what God does for us. Jesus is your Noah. And Jesus is your Boaz. And Jesus first took the punishment for my sin. And the storm came 100% on the Lord Jesus. And then the result was that the life is 100% and the rest and the security is 100% in the Lord Jesus. Isn't that a good? Now, here is something else that's happening. Does it kind of look like Naomi's heart is changing? Do you remember at the beginning of the story, Naomi was a bitter woman. And she said, in fact, she named herself Bitter. She said, do not call me Naomi, because Naomi's name meant pleasant. So she says, I don't want the name pleasant, because I'm not pleasant. And Naomi was outside the will of God. If you're outside of God's will today, as a believer, your life is not pleasant. And so she said, don't call me Naomi, or don't call me pleasant. Call me Mara, because Mara means bitter. And the Almighty has dealt bitterly with me. And of course, he did deal bitterly with me. What did God do for her?
God took her husband away. And then God took her son away. And then God took her second son away. And it says she was bereft, or left behind. She was bereft of her husband and her two sons. You know, the wages of sin is death, no matter who does it. You as a believer in the Lord Jesus can walk outside the will of God, can't you? And you can experience the wages of sin and the bitterness of being outside the will of God. But you don't have to, because beginning, remember our song, Lord is the light of life. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. So the key is staying in the will of Christ. And so, Naomi's heart seems to be changing here, because I see a change, because instead of focusing on herself, she's now turning her attention to her daughter-in-law and saying, let me seek security, let me find rest, let's get a marriage for you. Here we have just the man. So think about Naomi, though, because she really is a picture of Israel, just like Ruth is a picture of God's love for the Gentiles. God loves the Jews, and God loves the Gentiles. It's just that the Jews have to go through a whole lot of trouble before God finally brings them to himself. So Naomi is a widow like Israel. She has lost her husband. Israel today is no longer the pillar and support of the truth in the world. That has been transferred temporarily to the church. We're lights in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Israel was the light set on the hill. We were once without hope and without God in the world. Now Israel is without a father. In a certain sense, he's looking out for them so that they're still a small part. But as a nation, they're without God right now because they don't want the Lord Jesus. So they're widowed. And Israel has lost her sons. First, God swept away the northern kingdom, and Samaria was taken into captive. They've never really recovered from that. And then God swept away the southern kingdom, Judah, and that son was gone. And they've never really recovered from that. So you see how Naomi is just a wonderful color picture of the nation of Israel. No connection to the father. The sons are lost. And in that rejection, God is still using the Jew to give love to the Gentile. And that's what's happening in Naomi here. So she's lost her two sons. She, like Israel, has no security, but she's seeking security for a Gentile. Isn't that amazing? She's a widow, but she's too old to get security, she says. She's a widow, but she's too old to replace her sons. So she is stopping focusing on herself, and she's focusing on the one person she can help, this Gentile daughter-in-law, and she's providing the husband for this woman who can provide the children. And it's nice to have grandchildren, isn't it? I think so. And so there you go. I have a question. If you've been going to the Monday night Bible study that John Locke has been teaching, and he's been going through Romans 9 through 11, and of course he's ended on chapter 8. And it's exactly what we're talking about. So I ask this question, does this remind you of the Apostle Paul in Romans 8 and 9? In Romans 8, Paul says, what will separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus? He lists all the things. And everything. Will famine separate you from the Lord Jesus if he's your Savior? No, you'll be hungry, but you'll still be saved, right? What about the sword? Shall the sword separate? What if someone chops your head off? What do you lose? Well, I lose the ugliest part of my body. But I don't lose Jesus, do I?
And so what is Paul saying in Romans chapter 8? Nothing will separate us. He's saying, I, the Jew, found security and rest for you, the Gentile. And then in Romans 9, I didn't put it down here, but he said, I wish that I myself were cursed, separated from the Christ for the sake of my kinsmen according to the flesh. And Paul's acknowledging then in 9 through 11 that Israel is like Naomi, separated from God. And Paul is sad for that separation, but he is delighted that God's security and rest can be given to the Gentiles, and he gets to be used in the process. So that's free. That's you don't have to remember that. But today God has chosen to provide rest and security, salvation to the lost Gentile world through bitter, widowed Israel. And listen to what Jesus speaks to a Gentile woman. You worship what you do not know. Jesus is talking to us Gentiles. Okay? You worship what you don't know. We, and he's saying we Jews, worship what we do know. You got it? As Gentiles, we were so ignorant. My family, even when they went to church, worshiped statues. That's the Gentile heart right there. Gentiles love to worship statues. And which is crazy, because God has given his image today, and it's not a statue. Who is the image of the invisible God today? It's the Lord Jesus. If you want to see God, if you want to touch God, if you want God to speak to you, it's not going to be in a statue. It's going to be on the visible, bodily presentation of God in his Son Jesus. And it's yours. Don't worship a statue. That's saying, if you worship a statue, you're saying, God, you didn't do enough. Jesus is not enough. And God says he's the image of the invisible God. He's the only image I need. And he says, so anyway, you worship what you do not know. We worship what we know. For salvation is from the what? The Jews. If it weren't for the Jews, you wouldn't have a Bible today. If it weren't for the Jews, you wouldn't have a Savior today. And we even know what tribe Jesus was born from. What tribe of Jews did Jesus come from? He's the Lion of the tribe of what?
Judah.
Thank you. That was a good response. And so salvation comes through the Jews according to God's plan. And God is seeking security for you. Did you ever think God's looking for you? And that's what Jesus said. He said, the Son of Man, he's talking about himself, the Son of Man came to look for, so he's looking, to look for and to save those who are lost. And so just like Naomi was seeking security, rest, a marriage for Ruth, the Lord Jesus came into this world and he's looking to provide rest and security for you. You know, I'm glad I'm not the one who looks for a wife or husband for you, because you might have a terrible marriage. I might pair you up with, who knows? But when God offers you his Son, it's eternal love. And how can you refuse Jesus? How could you say no? This is the God of the universe who's looking for security for you. This is the creator of heaven and earth, who's looking for rest for you. And when he does, he's not sending Boaz. He's not sending Noah. He's sending his Son, his only Son. And he's the Gibor. He's the hero. And the hero and the rich one became poor
so that you and I, through his poverty, would become rich.
Wow! Have you received him? Just stop. Yeah, stop right now. If you haven't, this is the time. Just trust the Lord Jesus right now. Stop what you're doing and say, Lord, I can't save myself right now. I receive this man to be my Savior. And it is a lot like a wedding where the Lord, where the person says, will you have this man to be your lawfully wedded husband? And the Lord says to you, will you have this man, Jesus Christ, to be your Savior? And now you have to answer that.
So God is seeking security for you through the Lord Jesus. Do you have peace with God? Do you have rest for your soul? Do you have security?
And I put an adjective here. What's the adjective with security?
Eternal.
Eternal. Do you have security that can never be taken away? That's eternal. Because that's what God is offering you, and that's what you receive. Lord, I receive you as my eternal Savior. All right, God is offering you his son. Receive him like Ruth receives Boaz. And now my next point is faith believes the message of God. So faith offers you security, rest, and now faith believes the message. If God offers you something, I just probably took 5 minutes begging you to receive the Lord Jesus. And now let's look at this. Faith believes or receives the message. And so, verse 2, now is not Boaz our kinsman with whose maids you were? So Boaz is a relative, and he also is a relative who is in line to buy Ruth and Naomi out of their poverty. And the responsibility of the kinsman who buys his relative out of their poverty, he also has the responsibility to marry a single childless widow, if there is one in the family, and then have a child named by the original husband, if that makes sense. So Boaz is that person with whose maid you were. Behold, he winnows barley at the threshing floor tonight. In other words, the barley is picked, and now they're throwing it up in the air, and they're separating the grain from the part you can't eat that blows away. I don't know what you call it, the chaff. And so he gives, she now, this is a, I'm sorry, this is Naomi telling Ruth what to do to get security. So this could be how to get a husband right here, if that interests. Wash yourself, therefore, and anoint yourself, and put on your best clothes, and go down to the threshing floor, but do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. It shall be when he lies down, you shall notice the place where he lies, and you shall go and uncover his feet and lie down. Then he will tell you what you shall do. And she said to her, all that you say I will do. Now, right now, I'm not understanding all of this. But this is Naomi's instructions to Ruth. And I think maybe Ruth is not understanding all this right now. But these are her instructions from her mother-in-law, and what is her response to the message? Her response is, all that you say, what is it? I will do. All that you say, what? I will do. What is she, Ruth right now is receiving Naomi's message. And now our point here is, God has given a message about our Boaz. And when we say, believe the gospel, that is believing the message that God has given us about his son, the Lord Jesus. So faith, when we think about sin, we know it increases. Grace abounds, it's bigger than our sin. And now faith receives salvation
But faith receives salvation through believing a message. You understand that? Today God gave you a message, and the message is Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. You don't have to see Jesus. You do not have to hear the Lord Jesus. You simply have to believe what God says, the message about the Lord Jesus, and God saves you. As if Jesus were in the room with you. Just believing the message. So this is very important. But what did she say? She said to her, all that you say I will do. Ruth believed Naomi's words about Boaz. That is faith in the message. Which reminds me of John 5:24. A lot of us memorize John 5:24. And I like it because it goes along with this. I didn't put it up here, I apologize, but I can't even remember right now. How does it start? Truly, truly, I say to you. And Jesus is speaking. So if you know it, you can say it with me. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my words and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. John 5:24. Yeah, 5:24. I probably said something wrong here. But the message, he who hears my words. And so we're believing what God says about the Savior. And so that's what she did. She believed Naomi's words about Boaz. God seeks security for you and gives you a message about the Savior. Here's the gospel. Here's the message. Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel. That's the message. Which I preach to you. Which also you received. Okay, Paul's talking to a group of people from the city of Corinth. They heard the message. According to this, what did they do with the message? Now let's look at it again. Your question is, they heard the message, what did they do with the message? Because this is example. Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel. There's the message, right? Which I preach to you, which you also. What did they do, everyone? They received it. And so in which you also stand, and by which you're also, what's this? Saved. They had security. Because they received the message. So don't expect an angel to visit you and give you anything. Because God has given you a message, and that's what faith is. God believes the message without seeing the invisible God. And one day, are we going to see Jesus?
Yeah.
Absolutely. The Lord Jesus said, if I go away, I will come again. And I will receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Yes, you're going to see Jesus. But the point is today, faith is receiving him without seeing him because God has given you a message. Now, there's another way to be saved. Some people say there's only one way to be saved. Dan, I've got two. This is very exciting. You could also receive the person. And it's the same thing. You can believe the message, or you can receive the person. If I tell you all about the Lord Jesus, and you understand who he is, the Lord Jesus has come to me. Lord Jesus, I believe in you. And when you put your trust in the person of the Lord Jesus and you come to him, he's a risen man. And he's looking, seeking to save people who are lost. And you can really just come to him because is Jesus alive today? I thought he died. How did he get alive? Well, in 3 days, the grave could not hold Jesus any longer, right? And so now Jesus is alive. And he's not only alive, then he ascended to the right hand of the majesty. That's the Father on high. And he sat down there because all the work is done. And he's listening. And he wants to meet you. You can receive a person. Once you hear the message, you say, oh, Jesus, I come to you. Because he hears your heart. He knows what you believe. And both those things are true. Receiving, believing a message, receiving a person, and so that's good. Oh, bad English, have your received. Alright, well, excuse me. Have you received or believed the good news, message of God's Son? And so, okay, I'm going to give you just a heads up for the next week when we get, I think next week we get together. Ruth prepared herself to meet her Gibor, her Redeemer, her Savior, her husband. This is her security. God prepares you. He does all the work for you when you believe. Naomi gave Ruth instructions to prepare herself. You put the perfume on, wash, change your clothes, get out of your work clothes, and put your wedding clothes on. And he gave her the whole responsibility of getting ready to meet her Savior, right? The difference is now in history, God is going to prepare you, and he's going to give you the clothing, and he's going to wash you, and he's going to anoint you. And I'd like to take the time next week to look over how God is going to wash you when you receive his Son, how God is going to anoint you, how God is going to give you wedding clothes, how God is going to take you to the place where Jesus died, and all the way down there. But the important part is, this is as a closing thought, she had to prepare herself to meet her Savior. If you today trust Jesus as your Savior, God is preparing you. And it's his work. And he promises to prepare you. So one day this bride is going to be presented to the Lord Jesus in heaven, and it says we'll be without spot or wrinkle. We went to a wedding where one of my nieces was getting married. And before the wedding, she's sitting at the table with her wedding dress on, and she's eating nachos and salsa, and I see the chip coming to her mouth and the red salsa dripping towards her white wedding gown. I go, oh! So someone got that thoughtless bride, and actually the marriage has turned out really well in spite of all this. But someone got her a towel to put around her so that her wedding dress didn't have any spots by the time she finally stood up. It wasn't because of her. It wasn't because of Paula that her wedding dress was unspotted. It was someone else. So God is preparing you spotless and blameless, and it's not you, it's the Lord Jesus. So next week we'll think about how does God prepare you as a bride to meet your El Gibor. But the good question to close with is, have you by faith received the good news, the message, believed it? Have you received Jesus as your Savior?